Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Micah. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? And what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you out from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery and sent you before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam son of Beor answered him, and what happened from Shittim and Gilgal, and that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what I shall come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high, shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters, that not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he
went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Having called his disciples, Jesus begins taking disciples of every time and every place on a journey. For those first disciples, the inner circle feels like, well, a really sweet gig. Yet, thousands are following, tagging along. I wonder, seeing all those other people tagging along, how those inner circle disciples find themselves maybe a bit annoyed with all those who are crushing in on them. It's in this context that Jesus begins ministry by making, he had already made, begun ministry by making the pronouncement, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, has come near, repent, change direction, change course, change perspective, repent. So today, Jesus leads his disciples up a hillside, up a mountain. The Sermon on the Mount begins with words that outline what the kingdom of heaven means. Jesus begins to define what this kingdom of heaven looks like. For disciples who come from humble status and, well, occupation, remember, fishermen, the expectation may have included brushes with power and authority. It may have meant getting out of the lowly place, away from the lowly crowds, finding distance from the poor people who keep following and pressing in around them. Jesus tells them pretty plainly that the kingdom of heaven includes precisely those poor people, those crowds. Indeed, it's as if he intends to say, don't discount the crowds. Jesus begins announcing blessing for the poor, for the hopeless. To this day, people respond as though Jesus made a mistake. Surely God's blessing does not appear in poverty and destitution and disease, in hopelessness. In his The Message paraphrase, Eugene Peterson interpreted Jesus' words like this. Hear the blessings anew. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and God's rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. At the end of your rope, when you've lost what is most dear to you, when you are content with just who you are, none of these appeal much. And yet, those three blessings describe a huge number of people in this world. People who live at the end of their rope. People who live having lost what is most dear to them. They describe so many people in this state, in this city. Jesus begins by announcing blessing on the least of these among us, focusing on the hopeless and the grieving. Several years ago, Professor Ray Pickett interpreted these blessings as the first stanza of a Hebrew poem. And this first stanza speaks to the hopeless and the lost. The second stanza speaks blessing for those who take up solidarity with that first group. Listen to Eugene Peterson's rendering of the next three blessings, the second stanza of this poem. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. Hungering for God's righteousness, caring for others, especially those who cannot repay you, getting heart and mind focused right, all call disciples to orient themselves toward those hopeless ones, those end of their rope ones. Jesus calls for solidarity with the crowds. Professor Pickett went on to suggest that particularly for those who stand in solidarity with the crowds, there is a cost to every decision. The third stanza, he suggests, lays it out. And so listen to Peterson's paraphrase of Jesus in these final three blessings. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even, for though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds, and know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. These final blessings do not feel much like blessing. Persecution, being put down, being put out. Pickett argues that this last stanza of the poem of blessings reminds disciples that when one stands in solidarity, the authorities, those in power, will work to move these followers from the second group to the first. So today, still, Jesus calls the church to stand in solidarity with the hopeless, the poor, the hungry, the grieving. Jesus calls the church to stand up for justice, to seek peace. This week, Missouri has watched the legislature introduce 9 bills that have direct impact on trans youth and adults. What might it mean to stand in solidarity with these individuals, their families, and their communities? Justice is about right relationship with God and with fellow human beings. Today, this church is called to seek justice, love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. That is a big, difficult call. Nonetheless, it is a call to live the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. May this congregation and each of its members live into its call today and every day.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.